Okay, some of you might have been, if you were on the WhatsApp groups, you might have been thinking to yourselves, what is, because Jane left it as kind of like a, you know, she didn't actually say what we were going to be speaking about this morning. And then I said, if you're a child and you would like to make some bread, please roll up at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30, come and make some bread. So I don't know, anybody got any guesses what we might be thinking about today? Who wants to hazard a guess? Bread. What was that? Bread of life. Yeah, I mean, good. All good guesses. It's like being in an assembly, isn't it now? All good guesses, but all good answers. But actually, no, something a little bit different. Today, we are actually thinking about the subject of Sabbath. Shabbat, Sabbath. Okay, so we have been doing a series. I feel like we've been in this series a long time. It's rolling on and it's continuing to roll on sort of spiritual disciplines and good habits to encourage us to grow and to become disciples. So before we go any further, I'm going to pray and then we're going to head on into what we're doing. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for a new day. Thank you that your mercies are new to us every morning. Thank you, Father, for your presence, your very presence that is here in this room with us, touching each one of us. And Lord, as we explore this subject, this topic of Sabbath, of resting, of Shabbat, Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that you will use me and your Holy Spirit, Lord, to touch each one of our hearts, to draw us into a deeper intimacy and understanding. Father, would you capture our hearts with what is on your heart for this subject today, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I was challenged when I was thinking about it because I was like, oh, what spiritual disciplines have we already? It's going to be quite sort of interactive. There's going to be a little bit more talky at the beginning, but then it's going to be quiet. It's probably going to be chaos. I mean, I'm just going to say it now. It's probably going to be a bit chaos, but it's going to be okay. So who can remember any of the spiritual disciplines or good, healthy habits for living a good life with the Lord that we've covered already? Anybody got anything that they remember that we've already done? Prayer, yes, that is on my list. That is top of my list, Jane. Well done. Gold star for Jane. If she was here, if I was in assembly now, like I'd be saying to the teacher, whatever school we're in, the different thing, they either get a gold star or they get a marble in a jar, something like that. So, yeah, I don't know. What would you prefer? Gold star, I think, yeah. Yeah. What else? Yeah, cake, yeah. Yeah, I'd prefer cake. Probably not allowed to say that in school, though. So what other things have we looked at that are really important parts of our faith? Anybody remember any of the other things we've done? Sophie? Yeah, our Bible, that's right. Oh, that's on here as well. Good for you. The importance of biblical truth as foundational absolutes in our life. Yeah, anything else? Last Saturday was a big, I'm dropping hints now. What did we do last Saturday? Janine? Her memory's been washed clean. There's a clue there. Baptism, that's right, we looked at baptism. Andy Hare did a really challenging and interesting thing. Who remembers what Andy Hare spoke to us about? Yeah, partly. The word starts with S. Yeah, silence and solitude. The gift of that as we weave it into our journey with the Lord. Who remembers what Julian spoke about? This literally is turning into an assembly. I did not plan this. I mean, I've got a list here, but I didn't plan this. Who remembers what Julian spoke about a few times ago? Yeah, praying for Israel and for our leaders, for people that are in authority. We've spoken. Who remembers what Jane did an excellent preach on?
Finance.
Yeah, handling our money. Money and how we handle that under God. Brilliant. Okay, so today we are thinking about Sabbath. So, on your tables, now this can kind of be just running on as we go, you will find paper and pen. So at any point, and this is not just for the children, this is for the adults too, you've got an opportunity to write down, if you were going to pick your favourite meal, you know, if you're thinking, oh, this is like my absolute ultimate, what would you choose? What would be on your menu? So you can do three ultimate menus. If you want to decorate your paper and make it super jazzy, all to the good. So three ultimate menus. And then also, maybe you can do it on the other side. You might need to rip your paper in half if there's not enough on the table. You know, share nicely. Three, if you were going to have a day, a set-aside day to enjoy it with your family. Are you listening, kids at the back as well? This one's specially for you. If you're going to have a day out with your families, you can choose three of the most fun things, the best things that you would really like to do. What would be your top three favourite things, okay? So you can just be doing that a bit during the morning on your bits of paper. We're going to come back to that a bit later. So we're thinking about Sabbath, the gift of Sabbath. What is Sabbath? When we say that word Sabbath, I mean, it's not exactly in our everyday lingo. What do we think of? What do we think about? What does it make you think about? Rest. Yes, Kate. Yeah, Yannick. Something else, Yannis. Something else, rest. Anything else? Any sort of, anybody want to add anything to that? Yeah, no work. Yeah, a day off. A day off of what? Yeah, they are common things that we would think about. Okay, here comes another question. There's a little question at the beginning. What is the very best gift, like most valuable, most precious gift that you have ever received? Might need a minute to think about that. What is the very best gift that you have ever received? Who would like to offer anything? Yannick? The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift. We're blessed. We've been really blessed with that in the worship this morning, haven't we? It's God's very life and breath inside of us. Brilliant. Yeah? What other, anybody else got any amazing gift that they think that they really treasure and is really precious to them? Your wife, Jenny. Brilliant. You are a gift, Jenny. Not just to Steve, but to us as well. Yeah. Nina. Sorry now, your dad's put you on it. Rosie. Who's this? The dog. It's the hare's lovely dog. She sometimes features on Andy's sound bites because she can speak. So when he does those, she's very gifted because she's living in such a blessed family. Yeah. The gift of maybe a pet, somebody that loves us unconditionally, don't they? I mean, Andy and Jane are excluded from this conversation because they would not be putting that as top of their list, but there we go. Yeah, but yeah, anybody else? Their very best gift. Yeah, our children are very precious gifts from the Lord, aren't they? Children, grandchildren as well. Yeah, okay. It's just to get you thinking. The Sabbath is actually a gift from God. And I believe, when I read my Bible, that it is a vital and very precious gift. Now, no gift would be any good if we just left it. I mean, we talk about this at Christmas, don't we? You know, if you just leave it stuck under the tree, or if you don't unwrap it and you don't use it. If we gave birth to our children and then we just left them, it would be terrible. Terrible on every level. If we get married and then we don't go on to build a relationship with our partner, that would be really sad. If you've got Rosie and then you forgot to feed her or you forgot to take her for a walk, that would be really sad. It would be really sad. You wouldn't enjoy it. She wouldn't be having a good life. Everything would have gone wrong. A gift is, when it's given, is meant to be unwrapped, understood and enjoyed. And I believe that Sabbath is that kind of gift from God. So I want to try and paint you a very quick verbal picture. I'm going to try and describe to you, I wish I was an artist, and I searched everywhere on the internet to see if I could find a bit of video that would sum it up, but I couldn't. I want to describe to you what a Sabbath sort of shutdown looks like in Jerusalem. So on Friday in Jerusalem, it is absolute chaos. It is chaos. Everywhere you go, there are people, there is noise, there is traffic. If you go into the centre of Jerusalem, to the shuk, to the market, the food market, it is a market on steroids. There are a million people. There are Orthodox Jews, always the men, because the women are at home cleaning and preparing. The men with 8, 9 or more children and massive shopping trolleys. They're trendy in Israel. It's not like this country. And they are filling their trolleys with all the vegetables and the fruit. There's just everything is everywhere. It's hot, it's noisy, it's bustling, it's super busy. There's the constant sound of people's hands on the horn. I mean, it's like a genetic predisposition that the Israelis have to drive with their hand permanently on the horn. And as the day rolls on, you get to 12, you get to 1, you get to 2. There's a million people coming into cafes, wanting to eat together, meeting with friends. It rolls on to 3 or 4. I literally got back from Israel at 3:30 this morning. So I've just lived Shabbat in the last couple of days. It's very fresh in my mind. I was in the shuk. And as the time goes on, you've got the light rail, like the tram, running through the centre of the city. So you've got this constant like ding ding as the light rail's coming. Basically, get off the rails, or you're going to get run over. You know, all of that is just on a roll. You've got sirens. It's always sirens for one thing or another. And then you roll on, and you get to 3 and 4. And the noise level just starts to come down, just starts to drop. All the cafes, they're no longer serving. They're washing everything down, scrubbing the pavements, putting their chairs and tables away. There's less people. Yeah, and if you go to congregation like I did on Friday, you go in at 4 and you come out at around about 6:30. And you walk out into the street, and there's nothing. There's a gentle, you know, there's a few people moving around, a few cars from people that aren't religious. Yeah, but there's a shift. There is a palpable shift in the atmosphere. There is a change in the atmosphere. And then when you wake up, I'm going to come back to what you do in the intervening bit, but when you wake up on Saturday morning, it's, in normal life, it's deafening. In, you know, pretty much wherever you are, from early on, from 5 o'clock, there's shouting, hollering, there's blaring things through loudspeakers if you're living near a school like my family do. There's the dustbin lorries that pick up massive metal things that, because they don't have bin collections like we do, every day. But on a Saturday morning, when you wake up, there's nothing. There is literally no sound. All you can hear is the birds. It's so, so quiet and peaceful. There is a change in the atmosphere. There's a change in behaviour. Everything is different. Now, Orthodox Jews will be celebrating Shabbat in a slightly different way to Messianic. Similar, but different. But it will involve, on the Friday night, a table that is well laid. It will often involve flowers on the table. There will be bread and there will be wine to symbolise God's goodness and his provision. There will be prayers and blessing and singing. There will be good food and there will be gathered family and friends. Now, living in Israel is a difficult culture and environment to live in. People have many jobs. Most people have more than one job. Usually the husband and wife both have more than one job. But Friday night is the night when everybody comes home, if they can. Obviously, some soldiers, you know, their kids go into the army at 18. So obviously not every soldier gets released because the army still needs to function. But where they can, soldiers will get released to go home, obviously on a rota basis. But people come home. They gather back with the family. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that sounds great, Sue, but I'm not Jewish and I don't live in Israel. So why is any of this relevant for me? So the very first time that we actually see the principle of Sabbath enacted is actually in the very beginning of our Bible, in Genesis 2, verses 3 and 4. When it says, Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So we see within the first page or two of our Bible that God himself participates in taking a Sabbath. He is the very first person to model and institute something that is for the benefit of all mankind, not just Jewish Israelis that live in that tiny bit of land in the Middle East. The gift of Sabbath is for all of us, not just the Jews. In Genesis 1, verse 26, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness.'" Goes on to say, "Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock and over all the earth." But we, every single person sitting in this room, is made in the image of God. We have his DNA imprinted in us. God celebrates Sabbath. God rested. We are created and designed in the image of God to also share in that gift, to celebrate and to embrace Sabbath, I believe. We are wired for Sabbath to be a part of our lives. This is a quote from somebody called David Hofbrand. "Many of God's commandments call us to change our responses, things that stem from our brokenness, that run counter to God's loving nature. But the Sabbath is a commandment that we often seem to wrestle with more through neglect." It's quite a thought-provoking one, I think, that one. A little further on in Exodus 16, verse 29, we read of Moses telling the Israelites a message that God had given him. And he says, "These people must realise that Sabbath is God's gift to them. And we know that when God provided for them the manna in the desert, on the sixth day," you know, every day he said, "When you wake up every morning, you can go out of your tents, you can collect this food that I'm providing for you, this nourishment, collect it for the day. Don't try and save it because it goes mouldy and it got maggots in it." Because, of course, inevitably, some people did try to take too much and the next morning when they woke up, it was inedible because it was full of maggots. But on the sixth day, God provided a double portion of manna on the sixth day so that his people could rest. So we're seeing right from the beginning that this is not, you know, it's a principle, but yet it's a living thing. It's important to God, so it should be important to us. A little bit further on in Exodus 20, we read, "For in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy." So we can see this foundation that's there in the, you know, in the early books of the Bible. So then if we head a little bit into Jesus' time in Mark 2:27, we have a scripture that most of us are really familiar with. The one where Jesus was walking through the wheat field and was picking ears of wheat. And Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." And I think that's a really important thing that we need to understand. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of man, not for man to meet requirements of the Sabbath. When I was looking for something on YouTube to see if I could find a video that showed, like, one of those time-lapse videos that showed the shutdown, I couldn't find anything really good. The first time I looked, though, I did find a video that lasted for 7 minutes, and it was just quite interesting, because it was of some of the Orthodox neighbourhoods in Jerusalem, and various men, way before the actual time that Shabbat's going to start, all coming to the points in the road where the sort of entry points into their communities, checking their watches, and they've got all these, the metal gates like they would put along the mall when you've got the coronation to stop people coming on the mall, all those kind of things. And they're checking their watches, and there's no speech in this video for 7 minutes until they're checking, and then they see it's Shabbat, and then they're dragging their fences across the roads, and they're securing them. And if a taxi's coming up bringing somebody in, they're like, no, can't come in, they've got to get out there, and they've got to walk in. And they're basically setting barriers on their roads to prevent any kind of movement of traffic, anything that in their opinion will transgress the laws of the Sabbath. And when I saw it, your heart breaks for it, because what you see, there's an element of it. They're guarding the Sabbath. And that is something that we can learn from. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. But it's layered with so many rules. It's coming from a wrong place. They're not coming from that understanding of Jesus where Sabbath is made for the man. They're coming from the understanding that man has got to meet all these requirements. You can't have somebody pressing a button on a lift or turning a light switch on or anything like that, and you can't have anybody coming driving a car in or anything like that. And I thought it's just a very interesting thing that we need to make sure that we really get our understanding right in what we're sort of talking about. In the context of that passage in Mark, we see Jesus being challenged about picking an ear of corn to eat. And later on, he goes on to heal a man in the synagogue. And the scriptures go on to speak of Jesus' anger and distress at their stubborn hearts. That's the words. They're not my words. They're the words in the Bible. What he saw was that these people were more inclined to the observation of ritual than the receiving of Shabbat as a gift to be enjoyed and a blessing. And his heart was grieved and broken. I think we want to understand that Shabbat, Sabbath, resting, is a gift from God. And I believe that as we explore and honour and participate in developing a rhythm of regular Sabbathing, if that's a word, honouring the Sabbath, not only will we be blessed because we're being obedient, but our needs get met by God. We need to grasp and understand that this gift and principle is part of God's Father heart for his children. It is not about setting a whole load of rules and observations for us to obey in order to please him, but rather it's in honouring his command. It's a command in the Bible. We wouldn't think of ditching the thou shalt not murder, would we? Or thou shalt not steal, or all those other things. But somehow, like David Hofbrand says, we've managed so often, I think, to neglect this really precious gift that God is giving us. And then when we honour it, he's able to release blessing to us, which is what is in his heart right from the very beginning. When we were in worship, and some of those songs that Julian had chosen, they were speaking, weren't they, about I can't remember which one it was now, but the things like crying out. And I was just thinking, in scripture we see that so many times, don't we? In the Psalms it says the heavens have a voice. They have a voice. It says in the Bible, it says the heavens declare the glory of God. When you look to the heavens, they have a voice. They're speaking to us of who God is. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, And those religious leaders were so knocked and jealous, and they said to him, tell all your followers to be quiet, they're making far too much noise. And Yeshua says to them, he says, I can't really tell them to be quiet. And even if I could, even the stones will cry out. You know, the natural world. And it just took me back to the bit that we read in Genesis at the beginning, when God rested on the seventh day and he enjoyed all that he had made. I think that really, it speaks to my heart, because I think, you know, that's what he wants for us. It is what he wants for us. So what does this look like practically? Especially within a culture that is 100% not geared up for it. When you're in Israel, it's really easy to celebrate Shabbat because the entire culture is geared around it. You don't really have an option. You know, you're not going to get a bus or a light rail on Shabbat because it's not working. You're not going to be able to go to the shops and buy something because they're all closed. You know, it's a totally, it's ingrained in the core of their being, the celebration of Shabbat. But for us, it is different. It is a challenge. So we need to, each individually, you know, grapple with these things ourselves in our hearts about how we can create and honour this command and create our own rhythm of Shabbat in a culture that is not geared up for it. So it's some big stuff. So this is not like the 101, you know, coming out of here and I've got every answer. That's not what this is about. It's about stimulating us to think for ourselves and look and, you know, and to search our hearts and search with the Lord about what we want that to look like. But it is important that we get our foundational understanding right. Each of us needs to come from a place of knowing that God himself is the one who's given us this gift to enjoy. To enjoy. I think God, I mean, you know, this is, I'm putting my sort of interpretation on it, aren't I? But I think God absolutely loved his Sabbath on that very first one. Can you imagine it? He has just created this absolutely beautiful and 100% perfect world. There is nothing that's wrong in it. There is no flaw. It is sheer perfection. And he took a day to enjoy that. There were two people that he'd made. He'd created Adam and Eve and a beautiful world. Do I think he like shut himself in a corner and was like, I think I need a bit of a rest, a day off, you know. I don't fancy talking to anybody today. You know, no, I don't. I think he was enjoying. The Bible says he was enjoying all that he had made. Every 6 days, we need to somehow work out how to enter into the spirit of Sabbath and discover a different way of living, a different rhythm and a different mindset. Now, some of the other spiritual disciplines that we've looked at, they have been challenging in many ways. Some of them don't come naturally to us, and we have to persevere with them. We have to keep going. We have to try. To try something, that didn't really work so well. What do I need to do? You know, we don't just give up, do we? We need to persevere, but we reap blessing as we persevere and obey. Most of us, I think, sitting in this room would understand and would have experienced the benefits of taking a break or having a holiday from work and everyday life, maybe once a year. And we know, we understand, don't we, that it's beneficial to us in many ways. It's a good and healthy habit. If we don't do it, we risk getting burnt out and we have nothing to give. When we do this, as I was writing these thoughts down, I was like, I didn't actually plan that they would start with re, but anyway, it's just how it happened. And I was thinking, like, so when we go on holiday, often we rejuvenate ourselves, don't we? We say, yeah, I feel really rejuvenated now that I've come back from that holiday. Often we regather as family. Maybe we have that special set-apart time, don't we, where we think, actually, I haven't really had that time to connect with, you know, maybe it's even our spouse or our children or wider family, but we regather. We reconnect in our relationships. in different ways. I mean, I know that if you are, I was to ask my children, that they would come up with loads of, you know, probably slightly crazy memories about holidays and things and reconnecting. Probably they involve laughing at me and Julian. But, you know, but I hope that they will also have something. Yeah, exactly, Barney's nodding. But I hope that they would have some things that, you know, that they hold on to and treasure, that are really, you know, those times of reconnection. He gives us time and space to regather our thoughts, to be refreshed and re-energised going forward. Sometimes we reconfigure things with God and with other people. The gift of Sabbath is this principle, but in a weekly setting. So the really good news is that we do not have to wait for a once-a-year opportunity for all of those things, but the gift of Sabbath can give us that opportunity to regather, to reconnect with God and with one another, to regather our thoughts, to be refreshed by Him and re-energized, to reconfigure things that might have got a little bit out of kilter. It's really difficult if you do it once a year, you know, to reconfigure things. You've got a lot more backtracking to do, haven't you? But on a weekly basis, God is saying, I am giving you this gift. I am giving you this opportunity. Come to me. Come and spend time with me. Don't let it turn into a mountain. Let me deal with it while it's like a molehill. You know, that's why I just think of it. And I just think, even when I wrote down in my notes, I was like, even when I'm describing these things, it's really creating in me a thirst for these blessings on a weekly basis, not just once a year, where I kind of, you get to on holiday and you're like limping into it and you're like, oh, I can hardly carry on, you know, I really need a rest. You know, it's like, it's, no, that's not how it's meant to be, I don't think. So hopefully we've established that that Sabbath is a gift from God. It is a blessing to us and it is something to be enjoyed. It is not meant to be arduous or difficult. It is a set-apart time when we have opportunity to reconnect with intimacy with God. That has come up time and again in the words that were shared in all of them today. Each of those people is picking up on God's heartbeat, I believe, for us today. He's saying, get close. Come close. Come close. Stay close. Get near to me. You know, when I want to have an intimate conversation with Julian, I don't stand at the end of the garden and shout to him when he's out the front. I mean, you know, I do that, but that's not for the really private things, hopefully. You know? You get close. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to come close, to connect with Him in that deeper way and with one another, to enjoy all that He's given us in terms of relationship with Him and with the world around us and the people that we're living with around us. It's an opportunity to reposition ourselves for the week ahead. I love it. Like when I'm in Israel. So, do you know what I did yesterday for Shabbat? It was great. I was in my element. Our daughter-in-law, she's like a sort of part-time children and families worker alongside her studies in their congregation. And she'd organised a pool party for, there was over 100 people. So we were at the pool. I was like, I've given up with, like, you know, I'm thinking, I would have always been in the past worried, like, well, you can't get on a plane looking really manky. But I look around, I think there's loads of quite manky looking people on the plane with me, so I'm not too worried now. So I thought, I'm going to go straight from the pool. Obviously, I changed out my swimming costume. I did not, I would have been arrested at the airport, seriously, if I'd done that. But, yeah, so we had this amazing, feels smirky. Phil's going to need prayer for inner healing soon. Wipe that thought, Phil. Just think about this amazing pool party. There we were, you know, in the beautiful forest, and you've got like 100 people from the congregation there. You've got young, old, you've got one of their good friends, somebody that I know really well. Her due date was on Wednesday. Poor woman, I was like, get in the water, Becky, you're going to feel much lighter. You know, I said, I'm thinking, how are we going to get her out? Let's hope she doesn't give birth in the pool. But, you know, she's already got 4 kids. And, you know, you've got everybody there. You've got all food that's been brought to share. The sun was shining. What a beautiful day. People reconnecting. People that haven't been to congregation for a while. Angelica's like, wow, wow, people have signed up that we haven't seen for ages. I'm like, yeah, they will for 20 shekels. It's, you know, it's great. What a lovely day. The kids had a whale of a time. So good to see the children building relationships with one another, growing in confidence. You know, just so many things, so many blessings. Gives us a chance to be repositioned. But then when they come, that's what I started to say. Yeah. When you come home, as Shabbat ends, there's a very intentional start to Shabbat. I've described that to you. And there's also a very intentional end. They don't just like wander out of Shabbat and all suddenly you're in the normal day. If you're religious and you're Orthodox, there's very specific prayers and blessings that close out. It's called closing out. You open Shabbat and you close it out. And within a messianic context, that's the evening. You know, it's still calm, it's still quiet, but it's the day when Dan and Angelica will sit down. They will look at their plans for the week ahead. Who's going to be here, there, where? Who's picking the kids up then? Who's doing that? You know, they make their plans. You get the kids' bags ready for GAN the next day. You know, there's an intentionality about it. This is not just going to happen for us. It's not just going to happen. There's not a wand, and it's not just going to happen. It's not just a day of stopping and then just carrying on. The benefits and the blessing of truly celebrating Shabbat flow into every part of our lives and days so that I believe we will grow in fruitfulness. In basic terms, all of us will function much better when we live according to the Maker's instructions, which is what this whole series that we're working out is about. That's a fact, isn't it? That's reality. We all understand that. Okay, now... We're going to have a little go now. It's probably start to unravel slightly now. We want to put some practical flesh on our bones of understanding. That's how I'm thinking of it. So I am simply offering some ideas and suggestions as a stimulant for all of us to think about how we can begin to appreciate, honour and enjoy this weekly gift to us in our context, which is more challenging than theirs. All of us have different family setups. Some of us are single. Some of us are married. Some of us are all believers. Some are married to unbelievers. There's many complex things. Some of us have families. Some of us have very small children. Some in the middle. Some are older. So how do we begin to make these changes in our lives with all of those things? We were actually really helped as a family in COVID to really engage and embrace with this, because in that way, I think, because we were all sort of cut off from everything, couldn't really go anywhere or do anything, there was a new rhythm, wasn't there? There was an opportunity there, and that really helped us to begin to decide when that might work best for us. Now, we actually chose, because it does work quite well within our setting, to open Shabbat with a Shabbat meal on Friday night, and then to treat Saturday as our Shabbat. I've written down these words here because they are so important. We are going to all need to be intentional and to guard this thing jealously. Because it's not, like I say, it's not just going to happen. But I also really want to make it clear, we are not putting any heavy burden on people and say, oh, I'm going to be checking who's been using WhatsApp on Saturday or whatever. Or this is not about that. You know, it's not about a whole set of rules or like Sue said. No, this is about each one of us needing to take this understanding away and work out how we're going to, you know, develop it in our own setting. But I do want to encourage you to consider opening your Shabbat with a meal. I mean, we all need to eat, don't we? And to make that maybe a little bit special, whatever that looks like for you.